Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
No, I said elbow your neighbor and say, wake up. Come on, people. You got to wake it up. So here's the deal. Several years ago, we made a decision, as most of you know, to do away with traditional Sunday school and to bring kids 6 years old and older into the room. And that's been an up and down thing. You know, we do know, and I want to acknowledge right here, that for some parents, that's a big struggle. You know, some parents would love to come and like have others take care of their kids during the service in a Sunday school and kind of just relax, been there. If you've been a part of the River for a while, there's been times when I'm preaching and I've had to correct my kids in the midst of the teaching. I know that some of you would find it relaxing to have your children in the other room, and we understand that. What I'm making a vow publicly today is I'm going to work every Sunday this year that I'm up here to do at least one thing during my part to engage the youngsters. So I'm actually going to do at least one thing every week that will engage the youngsters in a way that I have not done before. In the past, I've done it every now and then, but this year, every year. So do you hear what I'm saying on this? Yeah. Okay, so to get at that, I got a giveaway. I'm going to throw this at somebody. So be ready because it's going to hurt. This is a book for, how many of you have kids that love to like play school on their free time? Yeah, that's crazy, actually. This is perfect for that kind of kid, right? This is for a child who would love to take notes during the sermon and during the worship. It's got, you know, what was today's favorite song, today's verse, today's sermon's about, that type of thing. These are available for $8.99 on Amazon, but we just bought a few that we're going to give away. So parents, what parent in this room knows that your kid would love this type of thing? Stephanie, you don't even have children. come on, come and get it. This is yours. Take good notes. I will be checking every Sunday to make sure you're filling it out, okay? Yeah. I'm just kidding. I won't. There you go. Way to go. Yeah, that's awesome. And if you don't want to spend the $8.99 and you weren't the winner of the prize, we have kind of a generic little printed version that we have back at our information booth, which we'd love for you to get. Keep the kids focused. Keep some adults focused, because I can see some adults fall asleep as well when I'm teaching, okay? So there's that. We're beginning a new series that's going to take us to the end of February, and the title of the series is what? So what? To help you wake up. Everybody say what? What? So what? All right, you got the inflection down. And so what we're going to do for the next 8 weeks, including today, is we're going to answer the question, what do we believe about, fill in the blank, and then after we talk about what we believe about whatever we're talking about, then we're going to ask the second question that Sunday. So what? What does it mean? And again, to help the youngsters, you know, stay engaged, we have printed off and ironed on some shirts that have a little kid with a question mark. So what kid in here under the age of six wants one? You want one right there, I can tell. Boom. Yep, Stephanie, I'm sorry, not going to fit you on these ones. Any kid over here want one? She's not looking, so can I hit her with this? Is that good? Got her. Yeah, there you go. I got two more to give away. Yeah, you want one? Okay. And then right behind you. Watch out, Mom. There we go. All right, so there you go. And I might as well give this one away, too. Do you want this one? Come on. You got to walk forward. There you go, man. All right, thank you. There it is. All right, so that's, consider that your warning. That was the awkward church clap. We don't do that here, all right? So you're going to clap, clap. If you're not, don't. So here's the deal, though, with this series. I've got the first two topics laid out and figured out what we're going to do. But the next several weeks, I'm not sure what I'm going to preach on, because you're going to tell me what you want me to preach on over the next 8 weeks. And so what we do is we have a number here that you can text your topic to, and it's going to be coming up on the screen. Very sure. There it is. So take a picture of that right now on your device. Write it down real quick. And I want you to text me the thing you would like me to teach on. What do we believe about? And you can fill in any topic, and we're going to choose the remaining six of the 8 weeks. I got the first two already laid out, and I want you to let me know what you want me to preach on. And if you don't have a phone, you can't do the text thing, come up to our prayer buckets, and you can write your topic on the green sheets and throw it in there. And while I'm talking about the prayer buckets, we've been praying again. We took a couple weeks off during the Christmas holiday, but we're back at it Monday nights at 6. Tuesday, Wednesday at 9, Friday at 9, and then Thursday at noon. We'd love for you to join us. And if you have prayer requests of any kind, please fill them out, because if you don't fill them out, the prayer team just sits there and stares at each other. We don't know what to pray about. So help us pray for you by filling out your request. You got all that? What?
Yeah.
So what? So here's what we're going to talk about today. And when I say, what do we believe, who's the we I'm talking about? I'm talking about followers of Christ, folks who believe the Bible says what it says and means what it says. So maybe one of the topics you want me to speak on down the road is, what do we believe about the Bible? Today, the we is followers of Christ. What do we believe, and here's today's topic, about Jesus? What do we believe about Jesus? The Barna Group released a study in April of 2015 that stated 92% of Americans believe Jesus actually existed. 92%. 60% of Americans say they've given their life to Jesus. When asked, what does that mean for the 92% of Americans who believe in Jesus and the 60% who've given their life to Jesus, the answers are all over the map. Some people believe this, some people believe that, some people believe that. Today, we're going to talk about what we believe about Jesus. But before we go any further, when we worship first in the service, Fraze and the worship team does a wonderful job of kind of engaging our souls and spirits, kind of plowing up the ground so that we can receive the teaching of the Lord. Well, he hasn't led us in worship yet. That's coming after the teaching, and I don't want you to miss this, so I'm going to pray. So everybody just close your eyes for a minute. Take a deep breath, everybody. Say to yourself out loud, I am awake and I am alert. And I'm going to learn something this morning. So, Lord, we ask that your spirit would come in the room. Do you agree, church? And we ask that you would unleash a move in our hearts and in our souls. Do you agree, church?
Yes.
And we ask, Lord, that you would teach us some things. Do you agree?
Yes.
And so come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Amen. So what do we believe about Jesus? I got four things for you. The first thing I want to get at by going to an old friend of mine. His name is Charles Spurgeon. He's old and dead, long gone, but he left his writings, and he has a devotional that is titled Morning and Evening, and it's called Morning and Evening. Anybody guess why? Because you can read it what times of day? I tried reading it at lunch one time. It just didn't work. In this devotional, Morning and Evening, he helps us get at this first thing I want you to know about what we believe about Jesus. He says this about Jesus. He says, the cry of Christ is come. Come. The Jewish law, the system that Jesus grew up in, the Jewish law harshly said, go, take heed unto thy steps, as the path in which thou shalt walk, break the commandments, and thou shalt perish. I'm sure when he wrote it, he had that inflection in his voice. Keep them and thou shalt live. The law was a dispensation of terror. And many people think that about Jesus. That he's angry. That he's ready to get us the moment we make a mistake. But Spurgeon helped us see something a little different. He says, the law was a dispensation of terror that drove men before them with a whip. But get this. But Jesus and his gospel draws people to himself. So what do we believe about Jesus? Number one, we believe that he is the God who attracts. Somebody say attracts. He's not angry. He's not terror-ridden. He's not motivated by fear. He doesn't tap into your fear. He's the God who attracts. Say it loudly. Number one, what do we believe about Jesus? He attracts is the answer. What do we believe about Jesus? He attracts. Here's what Jesus himself would say. He would say, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Has anybody ever been weary and burdened in the past week? Anybody? Raise your hand. Let me see who I'm talking to. Okay, yeah, sure you have. How about in the past year? Yeah? So to you, he says, come on. And this is important because when I was reading through that Barna study, some folks in our country, many folks actually think that this Jesus that 92% of Americans believe in, think Jesus is really mad at us for being weary and burdened. kind of like, what's your deal? You got to fix yourself. Why do you do that? But this isn't the image the scriptures present of Jesus. Jesus is the one who attracts. He says, come. All you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So that's Matthew 11, verse 28. And then we read this about the Jesus who attracts in John 15, verse 15. Because I no longer call you servants. Because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is the God who attracts. You see, the law repels, but the gospel attracts. That's what we believe about Jesus. That was one. That wasn't so hard, right? Are y'all awake yet? Yes. All right, y'all awake? Okay, there's something else. Number two, what do we believe about Jesus? We believe that he is the good shepherd. Somebody say, bah. Let me hear your best sheep impersonation. Do it a little better. Come on, what do you got? He's the good shepherd. Jesus, when talking about shepherds and the good shepherd, he would say this in the Gospel of John. He would say, the good shepherd goes ahead of the sheep, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. Here's the deal in the midst of this story. You're the sheep, and he's the shepherd. A bad shepherd would be angry quickly. A bad shepherd would leave when the going gets tough. The bad shepherd is distant and aloof, but the good shepherd knows each sheep by name, and the good shepherd would willingly and has willingly laid down his life so that the sheep can live. Somebody say, bah. Now, are y'all awake enough? Are you getting these things? Okay, because we're going somewhere. Pay attention. He's the good shepherd, and you're his sheep, and he has your best interest at the center of his being. This might be revolutionary, and I don't want you to miss it. God himself, in the form of the man Jesus, has your best interest at his heart. God thinks a lot of you, like the good shepherd likes his sheep. The Lord sees you and says, that's the one I'm concerned about. Who am I talking to this morning? The answer is me. Who am I talking to this morning? Me. He is a good shepherd, and you are his sheep. And to make sure you get that, somebody say, bah. Bah. See, the law, many think Jesus is all about the law. The law just shows the distance between us and God, but the good shepherd is the one who bridges the gap so that we can commune with God. So who is Jesus? What do we believe? We believe, number one, that he's what? He attracts. Number two, he's the good shepherd. Number three, what do we believe about Jesus? We believe that he is the lover of the world. Somebody say, lover of the world. For God so loved the world. Love the what? The world. Is that what the Bible says? It doesn't say for God so loved those who got their act together. Is that what it says?
No.
It says the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You need to know that we believe Jesus loves the world. Jesus' buddy Peter would write in his book, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord, this is Jesus, is not wanting anyone to perish, but wants everyone to come to repentance and salvation. Jesus is the lover of the world. He's the one who attracts. What's number two? He's the good shepherd, and he's the lover of the world. Number four, and lastly, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Number four, what do we believe about Jesus? We believe he is the way. Turn to your neighbor and say, the way.
The way.
He's the way. Whoever believes in him, John chapter 3, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they've not believed in him. Jesus is the way. We believe, as historical Christianity throughout the years has believed, that there's one way to the Father, and it's an easy way. It's a way of believing in one man, and his name is what? It's Jesus. And so at this church and at the church across of Jesus across America and across the world. The name of Jesus is upheld because it's the name of Jesus alone that brings salvation and freedom. We believe that he is the way. The Apostle Paul would say it this way. He said, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him a name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. We believe that Jesus is the way. He's the way. There ain't no other way. So, four things we believe about Jesus. We believe he attracts. We believe he's the good shepherd. We believe he's the lover of the world. And we believe he's the way. That's what we believe. So what? I mean, really, so what? You see, if we don't answer the question, so what, we run the risk of being Christian bobblehead dolls, right? Where we have all this information, but we do nothing with it. And the reason the second question is there is to make sure that the first question isn't just about intellectual acquiescence, but that we actually do something with our faith. You see, Jesus' half-brother James would say, don't merely be hearers of the word who deceive themselves, but be what? So what does it lead us to do if we believe these things about Jesus? So what? What does it matter? You don't want to simply be a Christian bobblehead doll, do you? Or a pew potato, as we say. Do you want to be that?
No.
You want to do something that with that which you believe, right?
Yeah.
So here's two things. Because of that, because we believe Jesus is those things, because we believe that Jesus is the one who attracts, because we believe that he is the good shepherd, because we believe that he is the lover of the world, and because we believe he is the way, here's the first thing that we ought to do. So what? So he wants you to be intimate with him. So what? Pursue intimacy. So what? Pursue intimacy. You've heard me say this. If you've been here for any time, this represents what we're talking about. Hold your right hand in the air and say, hello, God. Put your left hand in the air and say, hello, me. The whole point of it all, the whole point of Jesus is this. Boom. So that we could walk intimately with him. And the foundational value of this church is that each of us would grow in intimacy with Christ. Jesus isn't these things. He didn't go to the cross and come out of the tomb. He didn't become the lover of the world. He didn't become the one who attracts or the good shepherd. He didn't become any of those things for any other reason that you and I might walk closely with him. So what? It means you need to pursue intimacy. So for a year now, a little over a year, we've been talking about your particular discipleship, your faith journey. And we've been talking about faith, you know, some point in our lives, we're like a seed in our faith. Sometimes we're like a tree or a root in our faith, and then we grow and become trees. And whenever we talk about this journey of faith and we use our symbols behind me, I get excited because I get to use my laser pointer and I feel a little bit like a Jedi with a lightsaber, right? You know what I'm saying? Seeds. Roots, trees. It's a matter and process of growing in intimacy. And we'll never become the tree-like disciples Christ has for us, where we're communing with him and we're blessing the world around us, unless we pursue our intimacy. So you know it's a new year, right? It's a good time to make some resolutions. So I'm wondering what you're going to do with your walk with the Lord this year. You see, this time of year, we all are prompted to better ourselves. Well, I'm going to tell you, the best way to better yourselves is not to work at that thing you need to be better at. The best way to better yourself is to walk closely with Jesus, and everything will come into line after that. So what about these things about Jesus? So pursue your intimacy with him. So we have the online grow tool at theriver.info. There's a test, right? Maybe it's a good time for you to retake the test to see if you've grown in the past 6-7 months. And then in addition to the test, there's all kinds of resources that will help you grow. Whether you're a seed, you can become a root, or if you're a root, you can become a tree. It'll help you grow, so it might be a good time for you to engage in the grow tool better than you ever have before. So what? So what that Jesus is these things? So it means pursue your intimacy, and then secondly, make him known. Turn to your neighbor and say, make him known. You see, Jesus didn't become the lover of the world or the good shepherd or the one who attracts or that fourth thing that I can't remember or become the way. so that we could keep it to ourselves. He wants it for others. The way to Jesus is there if you would just make it known. So the first thing I want you to answer in the so what is pursue intimacy yourself. The second thing I want you to do is to make him known. You have people in your world who need the freedom that only Christ can give. You have people in your circle that need you to tell them of Jesus, sometimes with your words, often with your actions. So what? Do we believe these things about Jesus? It means that you need to make him known. And I'm wondering if you have a person, a name in mind, who you can just put there and say, you know, I need to let this person know about Jesus. How many of you have once found yourself in a junky place in life, like me, you know, addicted or depressed? How many of you have been there? And how many of you have found freedom in Jesus? See, it's about freedom that Christ brings, and it's freedom that Christ has for others in your world if you would make him known. So what? Make him known. Make him known. He's the one that will set the people free in your life.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.